Blog Talk Radio.
Connected
with you, and I just love you.
I feel the exact same way. It's just, you know, this has just been a very powerful relationship, and we've not actually met face to face. I think that's one of the benefits, even from technology, is that you know that if you can make a connection without seeing anybody in person, mm-hmm. when you meet them, you really will be able to. It makes you feel like you've known someone for years.
I've
recently established a connection with an African American sister who is living in Cambodia, and I got to tell you, this is a powerful woman who had gone over about 15 years ago on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. And ended up living there and beginning an orphanage. And she and I have communicated. I did her story in our magazine about three or four issues ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a powerful, powerful sister. And we've made a connection. You know, we've talked. We've actually gone ahead and spoken on the phone. She's doing some really wonderful things through the United Nations, and just a powerful sister. But I don't think I would have met her without the benefit of technology, meaning computers, the internet. And her story wouldn't have been told. So I'm absolutely grateful for the technology and the power that it has to do to make us establish relationships like the one you and I have.
Yes, it's such a blessing, such a blessing. I want to just go ahead and welcome my sister and friend out of South Florida, Kimberly Smith. She's another powerful sister that I've met on Facebook. She has an amazing show. So, Kimberly, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. So, luck does not live here.
Exactly. Luck does not live here.
You know, you have been here so many times, and any family to the A New Day show already know the beginning of your story. So we want to spend today's segment on your new book and the writings you are doing, and what brought you to this stage to be writing, and where you're looking to go. We just want to spend this entire hour on that part, because people already know about the cosmetic world and what you're doing there and everything. We want to focus on this new segment of Yolanda Webb.
Absolutely. Well, Lack Does Not Live Here came about as a result of I had gone through some adversity recently, and I had written this book about 5 years ago. Hadn't published it. It was sitting as a manuscript up on the shelf, and just one night I was in so much pain. I was asking God, you know, well, what's my purpose now? I had suffered a tremendous loss. Where do I go? What's next in my life? And it was as if God filled the entire room, and he said, I gave you a purpose. I gave you a mission, you know, and that was all I heard. And I wandered around for the next several days, you know, asking, what is that purpose? What is that mission? And I read a line. I don't know where it was. I saw it probably on Facebook or somewhere, and it said, Lack Does Not Live Here. Well, that was the title that I had given the book 5 years ago.
My God.
I knew instantly that was God simply saying to me, I gave you a purpose for yourself 5 years ago, that I needed you to tell a story. I needed you to tell my daughter something and share some information. So that was the sort of genesis, the rebirth of Lack Does Not Live Here. The book itself is really about the real principles of prosperous living for Black women. We have, and as much as I've talked about this subject with numbers of my sister friends, I remember a couple of weeks ago, or several months ago actually, I was having lunch with a young woman. I counsel women all the time on finances and how to manage money. And as we were leaving the table from this three-hour lunch, she looks at me and she says, you really need to put these in a book because you are really good at this. And I had never really thought about it, but I had written this book because it was something that was on my mind. And then that something was, our communities are dying. And money is the most powerful instrument in the world, and we don't know how to use it. And all of the books that are written, all of the accounting books, I love the folks that put together the books that say, if you do this, 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 and this, you'll have money. They're not written for us. Written in a language we understand. And so, Lack Does Not Live Here came about as a result of money is the one subject that we shy away from. Black
mm-hmm.
women refuse to have the most important conversation of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If we look around, communities are dying. Our children are killing each other for money.
Mm.
And we haven't made the connection that it is a very powerful thing. And if we learned how to manage it, how to use it, and how to leverage it, our communities would change. Our children
mm-hmm.
would change.
Mm-hmm.
Black means we fill in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
In our communities, money is missing. There's a lack gap in money in our communities. And Malcolm said it, we by any means necessary, we will do whatever it takes to fill in that gap. That means going to the check cashing place, which is a danger zone. That means standing on the corner and selling your body. That's a danger zone. That
mm-hmm.
means selling drugs to kids in third grade. We fill that lack gap in because we don't have power. And right now we have a black president, and we are still powerless. We are
mm-hmm.
still powerless. Even though we have a black president, we are still powerless. Why? They have counted us down and out. If you look at the census report, our black men who are college educated,
mm-hmm.
who are in the workforce, is quickly approaching a single-digit number, and we aren't paying attention to that. We don't even see it. And I'm not the only person saying it. There are other folks saying it. The only people that can change this, black women. We're the only ones that can change this. The only ones. We aren't doing it because we're still spending more money than we bring in. We're
mm-hmm.
still spending money on things that depreciate in value as opposed to appreciate in value. We will
mm-hmm.
go out and buy a new car in a minute, and the moment we drive it off the lot, it has lost its value.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of investing in a stock which tomorrow might increase and give you a 20% return on
mm-hmm.
that investment.
Mm-hmm.
We look at life only for today, and we never
mm-hmm.
look at it for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk through in the book stories of women that I have counseled and helped to change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Their finances are such now that they don't even have credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have credit cards. They're living the lives that they've always dreamed about, and they are happy because they are stress-free.
You know,
having money has nothing to do with wealth. In the black community, you know, I listen to these advocates all the time. Here in my town, there are a bunch of them. You know, they're with the black chambers, and they always say what somebody is doing to us instead of saying what we can be doing for ourselves.
For ourselves, exactly. Exactly.
We have to do this. We have to do this. The other thing, Daphne, is we have a fear of money. Black people have a fear of money. We refuse to call it wealth. You know, we call it the bling bling. We call it the dead presidents. We call it the Benjamins. But we refuse to call it money because we don't want anybody to think that we have sold out. And when you are wealthy, when you do have money, the first thing some other black person will say to you is, oh, you a sellout. What does that mean? Because I'm wealthy?
Mm.
Because I have
mm.
money? What that
mm.
means is I have an ability to delay my gratification and save
mm-hmm.
my money. It does not mean
mm-hmm.
that I've sold out my black brothers and sisters, because
mm-hmm.
the only way I can ever help my black brothers and sisters is if I have money. It's the
mm-hmm.
only thing that moves anything in this world. Money is second to God. Because if you
mm-hmm.
wanted to move a mountain, Jesus said your faith could move a mountain. And
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, only thing in this world right now that can actually move a mountain is money. You have money to rent the equipment. You have to have money to hire the men, and
mm-hmm.
they can move the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just – that's the only thing. And so I know that sounds heretical and blasphemous to people, but it's not. It is the only thing. I don't care what culture or what society you go into these days. If you don't have money, you are powerless.
That's right.
And I talk to people all the time, and they say, you know, things like, we're running out of land. The world will never run out of land. God will allow us
to run out of land.
God created an abundant planet. We have an abundant planet. We will never run out of food. We will never run out of land.
Mm-hmm.
What we run out of is somebody's willingness to sell you that.
Yes.
There is enough food on this planet to feed everybody three times a day. But mm-hmm. the problem is that it is attached to a monetary value,
mm-hmm.
which makes mm-hmm. it valuable.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I was listening to one of Jim Rohn's tape that he was playing. You know, the renowned Jim Rohn that passed away recently. Mm-hmm. He's like the father of motivational speaking. And he was saying that when he began working with his mentor, and the mentor said to him, when he was complaining about everything that society is doing to him and everything is expensive, and his mentor pointed out to him that, let's face it, nothing is expensive. The real problem is that you don't have the money to buy it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly, and that's exactly right. It's a truth. Nothing is out of reach for anyone. If you want a mink coat and it costs you $1,000, it's never out of your reach to afford that. You just have to be able to put your money away until you can't afford that. So nothing is ever out of reach for anybody, anyone. You know, when Christ said you would have the poor among you always, he understood that we would get to a place where everything in the world had a value, and that man, in his inhumanity to man, would lock certain people out of those very things that they needed to live and sustain life. Food. Man has attached a value to food and how much you can have if you have the right amount of money. Mm. You know, when we think about it, and I talk about this in the book, money is not the thing that is valuable. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know, money is just paper. Money is paper and gold and copper and mm-hmm. silver pounded into coins. It has absolutely no value. If you set it on fire, it would mm-hmm. burn because it's mm-hmm. just a piece of paper, which is nothing but a tree.
That's right.
The thing that you are buying is the thing that is the value. It's, mm-hmm. it's the thing that has value. It is not the mm-hmm. money that has the value. And so I talk about in the book, how do you change your mindset and see mm-hmm. not money as this thing that has the value, but the thing that you're trying to buy is the thing that has the value. Mm-hmm. So take your eyes off of the money and put your mm-hmm. eye on the thing that has the value. You know, I talked to a young woman yesterday, and she was saying, you know, she needed a new car. And I said, is that a need or a want? And we put it into mm-hmm. the needs and wants column. And she mm-hmm. said, you're right. Want a new car. I don't need a new car. I have the car I have is fine, but I saw a car that I really like, and I mm-hmm. want a new car. You know, mm-hmm. so we have to ask ourselves, you know, is the latest gadget, you know, that comes out. My son was teasing me because we were talking about the new latest Wii that you can dance to. You don't need the controllers, and mm-hmm. and he's just as frugal as I am. And he said, mm-hmm. Mom, give them 2 years and they'll come out with one where you can sit on the couch and just think about it and it'll do all the things that you want it to do. I said, right. So then you'd have to run back out and get that one. So why don't we just wait till they come out with that one? Because they will come out with something that will stop that.
I want to read something from the chat room. Kimberly said, when I started talking about money to African Americans, even entrepreneurs, they are afraid even to say they want to make money. And she's right. They think that they are not supposed to have it. She says that, what can you do for yourself and others when your finances are depleted? She's asking you that question.
Well, you have to, first of all, stop looking at your finances as if they are depleted. There is always enough. There's mm-hmm. always enough. It may not seem, if I have $2 mm-hmm. and I have a prosperous mindset, just mm-hmm. like in the Bible, Jesus gave, when he told the parable of the three people he gave the talents to two, they turned those same talents into something that was double. The third one took his talent, buried it under the ground, and did nothing. In the book, I say simply, the first two, they had a prosperous mindset. If
That's
I have
right.
$2 and you have $2, I can take my $2 and I may need to spend a dollar of it, but I need to take that other dollar and turn it into another dollar. That's what they mm-hmm. did. The mm-hmm. guy, he buried his talents in the ground, or he spent his two talents and he ended up with nothing. And that's just akin to going out and spending all you have. If mm-hmm. your finances are depleted, stop thinking that. Your mm-hmm. finances are, money always comes. It may not come when you want it right then, but if you think about it, always come. It always comes. It just something that flows. So the next time it flows into your life, a prosperity perspective, and take. And I give you the strategies in the book. You know, it is about learning how to save. And the one thing that people will read in the book, Daphne, mm-hmm. is I tell people to close your checking account. Close your checking account. You need to close your checking account. You need to go and open a savings account. If you don't have a savings account, open a savings account. And you actually in the book I tell you that you need three savings accounts. And the only reason you would ever reopen your checking account, and I would want you to reopen your checking account with a whatever the minimum balance is required to have your money in that checking account. Once you reopen a checking account, the only money you ever put in that checking account is the money once a month that you are going to write your bills out on. Those mm-hmm. are the bills that you are going to need to put a stamp on, put them in the mail, and they go away, whether that's the cable bill, rent, or mortgage. Those are the only things that you use a checking account for. It is a checking account that gets black women in so much trouble because guess what? We take the debit card, we stop at the McDonald's, we stop at the Woo! Starbucks, and then by the end of the day, we don't remember that we've done that. We stop and we get gas. We don't remember that. Mm-hmm. And that's how we deplete our finances because we don't know how to track it. Mm-hmm. And track money, you have to think of your personal life as your business. You mm-hmm. are your business.
Mm-hmm.
Your household is your business. And until we get that in our heads, that it is, we are a business. We, living, life is a business. Mm-hmm. It's treated the same exact way mm-hmm. as they run major corporations. Treat your mm-hmm. own life as if mm-hmm. you are that major corporation. Mm-hmm. And so major corporations never say that they have their finances depleted. They simply look for ways to generate new sources of revenue. They have to figure it out. How do you get new sources of revenue? I make the recommendation, take those designer clothes you got and go over to the consignment shop and start selling those off. I mm-hmm. mean, there are ways to generate new streams of revenue into mm-hmm. your life that you hadn't thought about, and I give those mm-hmm. examples in the book.
Mm-hmm. You know something? Isn't it? It is a wonder. Kimberly is so satisfied with the trend of your response. She says that's exactly what she wanted you to talk about, is the prosperity mindset. But it is so wonderful that we are all a work in progress. You remember yes. I mentioned that we only had an hour show today? No,
right.
That is not correct. We have 2 hours scheduled. We just did not have a second guest scheduled. So. I have to find something right. to fit the next hour in. So I apologize for that announcement for everybody who had heard that. Yes. So now the prosperity mindset, and Christians or believers are the most challenging people to discipline as well as educate around the prosperity mindset, because they read it, they have heard it in teaching, but I still feel, and this is just my personal feeling, Yolanda, that we still don't get it.
Yeah, and it's not a personal feeling. You're absolutely right. I start the book by saying something very simple and plain, that this is not a condemnation of the church. What was saddening me is that I sit in church Sunday after Sunday, and I see my sisters sit in church Sunday after Sunday, and then they go home and they're crying and screaming on Monday because the electric is turned off, they can't pay their bills. That's disheartening. That's disheartening. That's not your faith in action. That's not your faith working for you. That's your faith working against you. And because we don't have prosperous mindsets, we in the church has, and I want to make sure it's clear, not condemning the church. What I'm saying is that you have to get the lessons that the church is oftentimes trying to teach, but because the people that are trying to teach them don't have prosperous mindsets, they can't tell you how to have a prosperous mindset. Christ said, I came to give you life and mm-hmm. give you that life more abundantly.
Abundantly.
That meant every area of your life. That did not just mean in your spiritual life. It mm-hmm. meant you needed to stop thinking. And first of all, Daphne, everything that we say mm-hmm. Everything that we say starts as a thought. It is biologically impossible for everything that you say to not have begun as a thought.
Yes.
Christ talked about, and the Old Testament talks about, more about our thoughts. And the second thing it talks more about is money. So there are two themes, central themes in the Bible, our thoughts and money. Mm-hmm. Christ said, if you can think it, you can have it. You can believe
right.
it. If you can believe it, you can have it. He kept saying that. He was talking about our lives, good, whole, loving lives, prosperity in everything, abundance in everything, our relationship. You know, one of the things that I get so frustrated about is that the church has turned, it's the church and this whole thing about, you know, prosperity principles, name it and claim it, and you know, if I just believe, I'm going to have my blessing. No, you got to believe, but you also got to do. You got to believe and do. You can't just believe. God is not just going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing and then you mismanage it. He's not going to do that until you
right.
learn the strategies, until you get the strategies in place. And once you do, God gives you the desires of your heart. But
that's
prosperity,
right.
the thing about prosperity is people have turned it into things like the law of attraction, and so people in the church get turned off from that because they don't get it. They don't, okay, so how does that work? But God said it, and Solomon said it, as a man thinks, he is. That's mm-hmm. prosperous thinking. But it also works in reverse. If you think that you shouldn't have, then you won't have.
That's right, because you're attracting exactly what you think about. That's why I tell people,
that's right.
we have the power in our tongue and in our thinking process to rewrite the script of our lives.
Yes,
we do.
In every minute, we have that power. But the next time, you know, if any of your listeners are out there, I want you to, for a day or two, watch what you say and watch what you think. If you say things to your children like, we ain't got no money, or money don't grow on trees, that's a lack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lack mindset that you're passing on to your children. You're telling your children we already don't have, and you're also claiming what you don't have.
Exactly, instead of claiming what we have. You know, it was 2 weeks ago I stopped by to see a neighbor of mine, and she paid me the best compliment. I was sharing with her something that was happening in my life, and her mouth fell open because during this time of struggle and challenge, she had seen me, yet I was my vibrant, motivated, energetic self. And I never mentioned to her that challenge. And she looked me in my eyes and she said, you know something? I just want to tell you this right now. I want to get it out there, she says. She says, if today you decide to leave, go back to Jamaica or go somewhere in the world where I never see you again for the rest of my life. She said, you have given me a legacy in my life that I will always have. And that
wow.
is what faith is. She said,
wow.
I've read about it. I heard people spoke about it. But I did not know what faith is until you became part of my life.
Wow.
And I thought that was such a compliment.
Yeah, that is a compliment.
You know, I have learned, Yolanda, that you need to be so careful of what you say and to whom you say, because you can give negative things, life and energy to just grow. And people need to understand that the same way you can do that to negative things, you can do it to positive things too. So we are no by the company we keep.
Right. And, you know, Daphne, we say things all the time like, I'm not going to talk them up. If we know that we can talk people up, we can talk situations up. And
hallelujah.
So we have to understand that our what we speak, what we think, comes to us in both negative and positive ways. Christ talked about that when he asked the question, and he said in the scripture, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. I believe he was talking about this subject just as much in regards to faith as he was in regards to anything else. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to give you $2,500 and you haven't changed your mindset, or you haven't learned new strategies of how to make that $2,500 work for you, it might as well be $2, because you're going to go out and spend
it
the same as you would, right? And it's going to be ruined. And that's exactly what he meant. Why would God pour out a blessing in your life if he knows that you're going to do exactly the same things you were doing with it before? If you don't learn the strategies, and that's why I shy away from name it and claim it, and that's why the book is Lack Does Not Live Here, The Real Strategies of Prosperous Living for Black Women, because there is some doing that we have to own up to. Mm-hmm. We have to do things. There's some things in place that we have to know how to do, and it's called discipline. You know, the disciples, and I talk about this in the book, the disciples were called disciples for a reason. They were disciplined. There was a disciplined living, and that's what a disciple is. You know, we want to say that we are followers of Christ, and then that's where we get the word Christian from. Mm-hmm. But you can't be a follower of Christ unless you are a disciple. And the disciples were people. They had a discipline about themselves and a discipline in every area of their lives. They were disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
We must have discipline in order to have prosperous lives. It's not a trade-off involved in it. If you want to live the life you have ever dreamed about, if you always, you know, that's why when people win the lottery, I've watched these people, I have known several people to win millions of dollars in the lottery, and two or 3 years later, they are destitute again. They're broke.
Wow. Wow, because
they did not acquire that
wealth with the right discipline and the mindset. Yes. Well, I want to congratulate you, and I want to thank you for your obedience on taking the stand to help us create this discipline. And I'm so thankful that it is never too late for a new beginning and a new start. And I know with this book, we will be on our way. And I'm saying we, guys, because all of us need to sharpen our mindset around finances to make sure we are able to manage. So what are some first steps that we need to do? And I don't want you don't have to tell us the whole book or anything, but where do we begin?
I think the very first thing that you need to do, and it's going to take some discipline. That's where this discipline part comes in, is that for the next 30 days, today is December the 1st, for the next 30 days, every dime, every dollar you spend, you need to write it down in a notebook. One, because you need to know where your money is going. So I don't care if you stop for gas. I don't care if you buy a pack of cigarettes. I don't care if you buy a pack of gum. You need to write it down, and you need to write down where you spend it, what you spend it on, and the date. And then you need to create a column that says all transportation. And so if I took the bus or I bought gas, that's what I spent. I spent $230 for the month on transportation. I spent this, you know, at the nail salon. And so you need to track your spending. That's the first place that you start. Because unless you know where your money is going, unless you have it defined, you can never change your life. You can never change your life because you can never know where you're spending, where you should not be spending, or where you're spending too much or not enough. You will never know that unless you create, and I've given you exercises in the book, really simple. you know, most of the books out there are written for accountants or people that have this you know, business knowledge. This is a sister girl conversation that we having at the kitchen table, and I'm going to help you put your life back together, because there is no reason that we should be in so much pain. And the only reason that we're in pain is because we are in lack, and lack begins with money. You know, I tell people all the time, I've had my critics on this book. I got to tell you, you know, they've, well, it's not money that solves people's lives. And I always look at them, and my response back to them is, then why don't you give every dime that you have to somebody else, and you live like people that we're talking about, because you wouldn't, nobody would do that. Nobody
That's
would
right.
give up their health care if they got $10 or $20 in the bank and live like people in third world nations. No one would live, no one, if they had a choice, would do that. And so for me, not my sisters, the strategies to say that you don't ever have to live like that. You don't ever have to be broke, ever have to be broke, because being broke is a choice.
And
being broke is a choice.
That's right. That's right. I want the listeners who are listening, whether they're listening live or on archive, the book is for anyone, not only black women, but because Yolanda is a black woman writing from her years of experience and expertise. But don't think you cannot go out and buy it if you're a Caucasian or a Latino or an Asian woman. It works for everybody so long
strategy
as you put the tools and strategies into practice. But we got to speak about what
everyone.
We know. That's right. So I wanted to put that out there, Yolanda. So I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, that's okay. And you're absolutely right. The principles work for anyone. And you're right. I wrote it from a black woman's perspective because I counsel my sister friends. I counsel black women who come to me and say, help me make this work. I don't know how to make this work. And then when we do and we get them set up with, you know, this is how it works, this is what you need to do, and they see that they can start saving, they see that savings account growing. You know, the most heartwarming thing is for when somebody calls me and says, girl, I got $100 in the bank. I did not realize that I could do that. And it's not a huge thing, but it is a huge thing for somebody that's been writing bad checks or bouncing checks and not able, you know, to make ends meet. It becomes a really big deal for someone that can say, you know, I could have been doing this all along. One of the exercises, and I'll put this out there so that people have a head start, is that I always counsel the women that I talk to is to, because I want people to see how much money has actually flowed through your hands. Because when we always say there's never enough, when we do this exercise, they are amazed. You know, I've been in the workforce for some 30-some-odd years, and most of the women I talk to have as well. I ask people to go back to their first real job, and from that point forward, and most of us can remember, write down every year that you were in the workforce, how much money you made on an annual basis. And the example that I use in the book is a young woman that I had been working with. She's in her mid-50s. She'd been in the workforce for 36-some-odd years. We took every year that she had worked, and she had a couple when she got married and had children where she didn't work. And then when she got married, we counted her household income. Between she and her husband, who they'd been married some 20 years, they had earned collectively income flowing into their lives. That's what income is, more than $2 million. And
wow.
I looked at her and I said, where's your money? She said, I don't know, because they were living in a house that they were renting and they, you know, couldn't afford it. I said, where's your money? I said, if you had $10 a week from the very first time you got your very first job, you would have $130,000 in the bank. You could have walked into a bank anywhere in America and paid cash for a house. And when you see it on paper that I have made $2 million and I have nothing to show for it, then you get it. Then the light bulb goes off and you go, oh, my God, what have I been doing with my life? What have I been doing with all this? And I've had all this money. You know, so most of us can remember. You know, your first year, my first year, I remember I made a good $8,000 on my first job. I was working in some department store when I was 16. Mm-hmm. For that, I made about $8,000. So most of us can remember, and when you add that up, and when you divide it by how many years you've been in the workforce, for example, this young woman, she had been in the workforce so long that on average she had earned about $50,000 a year.
Mm.
She'd been in the work for 36 years. In 36 years, she had made at least $2 million. She had nothing in her life that could concretely, from an appreciative standpoint, of any value to show for it. Nothing. She was disappointed in herself, but we put her back on the right track, and she is now one of those folks that will tell you in a minute, yes, I have wealth. And it's not just money to her now, it's wealth. She's wealthy because she has a wealthy mindset. She has a prosperous mindset. And she's on her way to being debt-free. Now, and debt-free, understand, does not mean that you don't have any debt. There's a difference between good debt and bad debt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have some good debt because she's trying to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got some student loans out there. And bad debt is the credit cards and you know, check cashing places, and all of those are bad debt that we slowly over time for her got rid of. And she's going to have some good debt, but she's going to be, and she is, worry-free, stress-free. She can pay her bills. She knows exactly what her bills come to every month, and she is mm-hmm. now disciplined mm-hmm. in order to handle her own family finances. And that's mm-hmm. what I want for my more than anything.
Yolanda, at what stage of your life did you find out about this discipline that you need to demonstrate and display that you can now share with us? Because everybody are probably listening and saying, oh, she always have had it together. I can't do
I
it.
I didn't.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
Unfortunately,
I did not. I was I had gotten married, and then my marriage ended, and my children were, I'm going to say, 8 and 10, and I became a single parent. And, you know, at that point, I was needing to work two jobs, you know, and at some point I had lost my home. And so I told people, I put the honesty card on the table. I've been homeless. You know, mm-hmm. I'd lost my home. I watched my car drive off down the street with the repo man. I've been there.
Yes,
so
Lord.
So my conversation is not one from something that I don't understand. But I've also been on the other side of the table. I've also had so much money in my life, and this is not ego, but mm-hmm. this is simply saying, when I was in my 30s, the light bulb went off over my head that I was going to have two children who were going to be entering, who were going to need college educations, who I wanted to have college educations. And so at that point, I began to, with both a full-time and a part-time job, put these disciplines in place. When my child went off to college 12 years ago, mm-hmm. I paid for his entire college education with cash, paid his rent
Woo-hoo.
On his apartment, bought his books, and my daughter went off 2 years later, and I did the exact same thing for her. Then I started my business without any loans. All of the money that I have ever put into my business has not ever been bank financed. It has been financed by me. I've done this.
Wow.
And that's why because I didn't believe in debt. And so the discipline I learned out of necessity, because I never wanted to see another car being driven off by the repo man, and I never wanted to live in somebody's basement again. So I understood from that point forward that something had to change in my life. And I set out learning the principles in the Bible, because God talks so much about money. He does in the Bible. And I read all the other books, and I said, yeah, there's got to be a better way. There's no secret to this. I'd read that book. There's no secret. There's no secret to prosperity. The secret is in discipline. The secret
discipline.
Is in order.
Discipline, discipline, discipline.
Secret is in saying, God, I want to live a good life. Mm-hmm. God will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing when you're ready, when you're disciplined, when he knows you got it together, and he knows that you will take and be a good steward everything that he will give you. He'll give you the desires of
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know you have written the book out there for us to get it and all of that, and I know we are all going to be running out to get the book. But how else can you help us? We hear you mention about you counsel women. For those of us who are not local to you, how can you help us get our
There's 1-800 number. Let me give this 1-800 number out, because if someone wants to go ahead and call me, they can. We can talk through your situation, whatever's going on, and I can help you begin to see some things differently and maybe get on the road to a better way of life. The 1-800 number is 1-888-836-7485. Again, the number is 1-888-836-7485. And Daphne, I'm also able to come out, talk to your women's groups if you'd like that. I'm available to do that. I've done the training in a number of different places, and people always say, somebody should have just told us that this is easy. It is easy. Mm-hmm. It's easy, but it takes time and it takes discipline, and it's for the long haul. And Daphne, before we end, I want to make sure that
We still have time. We still have some more time. So
there's one
ending.
Little story. I know that we celebrated this woman's life, you know, for a little bit, and then she fell off of out of the media. But I will continue to tell her story, and that is the story of Osceola McCarty in Mississippi, who was a washerwoman. She took in laundry for a few families, white families in Mississippi. She charged in the beginning $1 a bundle. She ended up charging $10 a bundle. She may have made $50 a week. She set aside, every time she got money, half of what she was making. She lived on the other half. When she was ready to retire, she told her bank, I need to make a donation to the University of Mississippi. They were astounded. They thought she was going to donate $25, $30, $45, $50. No, she donated $150,000 to the University of Mississippi.
Wow.
On a washerwoman's salary, and she had enough to retire on her own without public assistance. That's discipline.
That's discipline.
That's a living with a prosperous mindset. She said one thing that always stuck with me. She said, I started saving my money, and it just accumulated. It just accumulated.
And
it does.
Did she have it in a bank where she was getting interest on it, or was she saving it?
She had it in a bank, getting interest on it. That's absolutely right. She was saving her money.
Wonderful.
She was saving her money. And so we don't need to have the full-time job on top of the part-time job on top of the side gig hustle. We need to understand discipline. We need to
discipline
understand
and how to manage
work.
Because you know what? People are spending time out there on 3-4 jobs to get the money. And what is happening, they are losing their children in the process.
But they're still broke.
Exactly.
Still,
what are we trading in?
Right. But you're still broke. If you've got a full-time job and a part-time job or two part-time jobs and you're still broke, it's not, the solution is not another part-time job on top of that or not. It's not, because your spending patterns have not changed. You've not changed the way you're currently living. You still don't know how to manage money, because if you did, there's always enough. And once you learn and get a better handle on what you're currently spending money on, we spend money on stuff that we have no idea we've even spent money on. When I sat down with the woman for the 3-hour lunch, and she, for her monthly assignment, was to track everything she spent money on, she started laughing when we first sat down, because she said, girl, at first this was really hard. She said, and then I started looking at what I have been spending my money on. She said, you know, she'd go in the CVS drugstore, and she'd go in for a purpose, but while she was in there, she'd get something else, some gum, or she'd get some cookies, or she'd get something else that wasn't what she had budgeted her money for, and she ended up spending much more than she thought she had. And that's what happens to us, and so we don't get that. But this is like anything else. You know, we give so much of our time and our talent to people that we work for, to our employers. We give them our absolute 100% best because we want that paycheck. But we don't give ourselves our absolute 100% best because we want to know what we do with our own money. And that's
right.
What Christ was trying to say. That's what
right.
Christ was trying to say.
The other thing I want to ask, I continue that, Yolanda. I know you wrote this book with a spiritual mindset. And
yes.
People probably going to be asking, well, I'm not a Christian. Will that work for me? So you want to shed some light on that?
It absolutely will, because I say in the beginning of the book, this book is not about Christianity. It's not about the church. I use the terms interchangeably, God and the universe. My master's degree, my background is in humanities and theology. I had a desire to understand who we are as human beings, but I also had a desire to understand and know who God is. And so consequently, my master's major is a double major in humanities and theology, because I want to know who God is through knowing who we are. And so the book is geared towards anybody. It's not mm-hmm. geared towards a specific mm-hmm. denomination of the church. It's mm-hmm. not even a condemnation of the church. It's not even about the church. It's about
right.
us. It's about mm-hmm. and I cite from I've acknowledged in the beginning of the book, there are folks that I owe a debt of gratitude. They were teaching me even when they did not know mm-hmm. the words of God, the words of Jesus Christ, Dale Carnegie, Napoleon mm-hmm. Hill, Jan Levan Zant, Frederick
mm-hmm.
Lehrman, Susie mm-hmm. Orman, Paul
mm-hmm.
Calejo, Dave Ramsey, A Course
mm-hmm.
in Miracles. You know,
mm-hmm.
I, for me, learning happens everywhere.
That's right.
Learning
That's right.
happens everywhere. God has created a world where everything is out there for me to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I acknowledge the love and the teachings and the writings from all of these folks, because they inspired me to become even better when they didn't even know they were teaching me. And so I appreciated their writing before I was even beginning to learn. And so I did acknowledge that. And so, yeah, definitely the book is for...
I wanted to ask that question because I have heard the conversation with people who have their own classifications of who they think are believers and Christians. And the labels go on and on. And I've heard people say that, oh, that person is not saved or that person is not born again. And yet they have so much. There's a prominent woman in the world that I've heard them say this about. Oh, she's new age and she's this and she's that. Why does she have so much health? How much, so much wealth and so much prosperity? And I said, that's what you're saying. But because she's practicing prosperity mindset, she is blessing others and she's helping to bring about change in the world, in America, all over. She's
mm-hmm.
doing that. So if we as Christian and believers would get into the same discipline and practices like she is, we would have the same thing. So it's not for us to stand aside and
That's
criticize
right.
people, because everybody who is jumping up those pews on Sunday aren't as holy as they are supposed to. So don't be grudging and envying other people out there who are doing the things that the universe asks them to do to become prosperous, successful, and wealthy.
That's right. That's exactly right. I absolutely agree with that. Yes, I do. And so that's why I said the book is for everyone. It is just simply written for everyone. You know, I want people to understand that the book is about mindset. It's about how we think. It's about thinking differently about your own life. You know, as black women, one of the women in the book I did an experiment on, she had this thing about having to buy new clothes for work. And we did an experiment on her. We had her wear the same thing on Monday and Friday. And then we asked the people in her office if they could tell us what she had on Monday and what she had on Friday. You'd have thought she had on two different outfits, and she had on the same outfit. What
people
we
don't
did to
know.
Her is... Nobody is paying that close of attention to you. It's your perception of what you think people are thinking about you. They are
That's
too
right.
worried about their own lives. They aren't worried about yours. And so we were able to help her understand that and cut her clothes budget in half because mm-hmm. she was buying clothes not for herself but for other people.
Well, she did. Some people got their own stuff. They ain't got time.
Right. Right. And she was broke, and she didn't get that. You know, so what I want and what I'm hoping, because the book is about mindset, the book is about understanding that you can create the life you want, but it also takes some doing, some discipline, some strategy, some order in order to do that. It is not name it and claim it. It is not the law of attraction. You can bring everything you want to your life. You can, but you go in order to keep it once it gets there, you need to know how to manage it. You can have the life of your dreams, but if you mismanage it after you've received it, you're going to be right back into the dilemma that you have always been in, and that's that cycle that we put ourselves through. And so that's what this book is about. And I hope that it inspires and motivates us, especially as Black women, but anybody.
I want to read something from the chat room. Just want to thank Yolanda for having the courage to write this book and to speak this truth. Finally, someone saying boldly what I've been knowing as a truth for so long. So we just want to thank you for your obedience in doing that. Because somebody has to say it. And, there's Kimberly in the chat room and I, we're having such a fun because many people came and lingered. And mm-hmm. when they realized the conversation is around money, they left. And we are just saying, people are still running. And she said, look, and they that are running are still the ones who are complaining about the lack in their lives. But it's interesting to see people don't want to take responsibility.
And we say that in the book. I say that in the book. The most important conversation of our life, and we refuse to have it. It is the one conversation that can change our lives, and we refuse to talk about it. And we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. It's time. Or we're going to look up one day, and the Black community as we know it will no longer exist. It's time.
So, we're going to be, because I know you only wanted to spend an hour, but I want you to tell us where to get the book and what should we be looking forward to in the future from you.
Well, the book is going to be available tonight after midnight on Amazon.com, and I will shoot you an email also, Daphne, but it is available on Amazon.com, and that'll be after midnight tonight. It'll also be available if you go to my website, and my website, Elon, E-L-O-N, Couture, C-O-U-T-U-R-E, Cosmetics, C-O-S-M-E-T-I-C-S, .com, ElonCoutureCosmetics.com. That's the website. It's also available on our website and will be available on Amazon.com after midnight tonight.
And repeat that phone number where people can call you.
The phone number is 1-888-836-7485. And what comes next? I have another book coming out for young African-American girls, young Black girls. It's a great Christmas gift. It's called The Twizy Girl Mystery, The Case of the Missing Pearl. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book for kids.
And is it going to be out for this Christmas?
Yes, it is. It'll be out for this Christmas.
You'll be hauling out on folks. You just be hauling out on us. You come here just talking about Black didn't live here. You didn't tell us that you got something else in the oven stewing.
I do.
Tell us a little bit more about that before you get up and run out of here.
Twizy Girls Mystery. The Twizy is one of our product lines, and we created, it's one of our cosmetic product lines that's available, and we've created a girls club out of it. It's called the Twizy Girls, and there are six friends who make up the Twizy Girls, and the book is about them being in junior high school. They have, after all this time, they are able to put on a school play, but somebody steals the costumes, and the somebody that steals the costumes, that's a part of the mystery, but one of the friends is accused of stealing the costumes because she's jealous of not getting the lead role, and so I want folks to read it. It's a wonderful way to tell our daughters about friendship, about love, about hope, about the future. It's a great, great story, has a very positive storyline for young African-American teens that shows them everything there is to know about strength and courage and about love.
Wow. Powerful, 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 powerful. Powerful.
It's very powerful. Yes.
I want to thank you for coming on here and just to share all the wonderful things that you're doing and for paving the way for the rest of us. I want to pray for your continued success, and we want for the people to go out and pick up the book. Someone in the chat room says she's already on the website, so that's a good thing. And we just pray that Tizzy does well as well. And you know you have a platform to come back to any time that you want. Anytime that you want to, Yolanda. So
thank
I want you to just give out your information one more time. And you can just give your closing remarks. And because we know you got work to do, my sister. And you know that I'm calling you too because I got to get my act in order. And who better to learn from other than someone who has been there, done that. So
absolutely.
I'll be calling that number as well.
Okay, absolutely. I look forward to it. The website is ElanCoutureCosmetics.com. And you can get the book on Amazon. They both will be available up online, both on the Amazon website and our website after midnight tonight. We can't sell before Amazon does, so they both go live after midnight tonight on Amazon and on our website. The 1-800 number is 1-888-836-7485. Again, 1-888-836-7485. Call me. If you'd like to do seminar trainings, I do that as well. This is about saving our lives.
Well, we have to talk about what it would take to get you to Connecticut to do that, because women need to get stuff in order. We need to get our stuff in order. And
We're the only ones that can do this. Daphne, we are. We're the only ones that can do this, and everybody knows it, and they've counted us out because we have lack mindsets and we don't know how to manage our money, and so they've counted us out completely. We have no power. Black people have no political. We have no political power because we have no money, and that's what they know. We have no money, so we have no political power. So we have got together. We have to. So thank you for having me on. Thank you. I'm here in my office all day today. If folks want to call the 1-800 number, the girls will make certain that I talk to anybody that calls today. I am here and I am available. And the 1-800 number was set up for specifically that. It goes through our customer service, but they will definitely make sure and make certain that I am available.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. And we will be calling. And if you're out there and you were listening, and because we do have some additional time here, call in and let's talk about what you heard from Yolanda and what your feeling is about that. And I have my sister, L. Kimberly Smith, in the chat room, and I'm going to have her call in so we can talk about some of the things that Yolanda have been talking about. So we want you to listen. A minute after midnight, I wish we knew it was going live at midnight. Then we would do the show tomorrow morning or something just to pump the volume up. But we will talk about probably doing a contest or something so you can pump the numbers up for
absolutely.
The show. So we just, I just love you, Yolanda, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
Thank you, Daphne. I sure do appreciate that. Whenever you need me to come back on, if you need me to come back on and we can talk about the book, we can talk about both of the books.
Okay, great.
Just give me a call. So thank you once again. I appreciate you allowing me to
have.
All righty. Take care.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you, Yolanda. You have a blessed day and continued success.
Thank you, Daphne. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Sister Kimberly.
Hello.
Well, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, and I'm doing even better after having listened to Yolanda. So thank you so much. Thank her, and thank you so much for having her on.
Oh, what a blessing, because this is a conversation that we all need, especially as Black women. Kimberly, you and I, we have seen the light, and I don't know about your finances. I've seen the light. My finances is not where it ought to be. So when I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago and heard she mentioned, because she was one of my expert panelists on November the 10th.
Yes.
So we are focusing on getting entrepreneurs where they need to be for 2011, because they need to stop pointing fingers and blaming everybody. So when she mentioned about the book, Luck Does Not Live Here, I said, we got to have you on to do the launch here. And it was amazing. Both you and I noticed how many people came to the chat room, lingered, and then, bam, they were out of there.
Yes, yes. Quite a few people did that. And I said to myself, wow, this is very interesting, because I just, Daphne, on Monday mornings, I do a local thing here with a couple of really good, powerful women, and we just have coffee and talk about things. And one of the things that I brought up was how much I was hearing from everyone, you know, on the Blog Talk radio shows and all that. Everybody saying they don't have any money, they've been struggling, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to build a business, they need more money. Like, that's all I'm hearing is everybody saying, oh, I'm having all these problems with my finances, and I don't know how to make money, don't know how to keep money. And then to see people come in on your show and they listen just long enough to probably something, probably maybe just stepped on their toe a little bit, you know what I mean? Because Yolanda was talking a lot about personal accountability, you know. And so they stayed just long enough, so probably something just kind of stepped on their toe. They didn't want to handle it, and then they were out of the room. And it was so, you know, it was so interesting to watch. They all lasted about 2 minutes. So,
but you know something, Kimberly? We cannot run from ourselves, because wherever we go, we are always with ourselves.
Yes.
And when I noticed the speed in which they were leaving the chat room, I said to myself, oh, my God, it reminds me of the offering time in some churches. You know, every time it's coming close to offering time, people are going to the bathroom or...
Yes.
Oh, people just muscle up a long face because they don't want to hear about money.
Yes, about
but
money. Yes.
We got to take a stand and know that we are in total control of our money issue. It's not the government. It's not the system. It's us.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what, Daphne, you know, this whole fear around it, and, you know, as, you know, you brought up something really, really, really good when you were talking about Yolanda's book, and, you know, you and I and Yolanda know that anybody that picks up that book and follows the principles is going to benefit from it, whether they're African American or not. But you guys made such a great point because, you know, we are African American women. This is our community. And so we speak from that which we know best, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I have found that this fear in our community with our people, just the fear of money, you know, it's interesting because people will talk about how much they want it, oh, how much they love it, how much they need it. They could think of all of these things that they would have and they would buy and they would spend it on, but really underneath it all is a big fear of even the mere discussion, and it is very difficult, almost impossible, to draw something into your life that mm-hmm. you have this type of dysfunctional relationship with. And a lot of people have a very dysfunctional relationship with money. They don't know whether they love it or hate it.
That's right. And you know, Kimberly, as you were speaking this, you know what came into my spirit? That there are a lot of people, both genders,
yes,
from different cultural and ethnic groups, who are going to run out there. They're going to buy this book, and they're going to put those principles to work in their lives.
Yes.
They are going to have powerful testimonies, and yet the black women that it was written for will not buy it. This
yes.
is what came in my spirit, and I'm just speaking it.
Yeah.
I just
wow.
want to speak that, because that's what just came into my spirit.
Wow.
That's what
that's so
came into my spirit. And it is, as a matter of fact, it is like most things around us.
Yes.
It's always other people's faults. And, you know, this is, it's the white people why we don't have this. And it's people who came from the West Indies and they
yes.
have all of this, and it's the this, it's the that, and I always ask the question, so what role do you play in all of this? Tell
yes.
me.
Yes.
Are you looking in the mirror and having a conversation with the person who is looking back at you?
Well, and you know, and no, they are not. And so often, my best friend and I, we talk about that, because it takes courage to look at yourself in the mirror and to really want to see everything that is there. And, you know, when Yolanda talked about taking responsibility and writing down, she gave a great exercise that is so simple to do that I learned years ago when I didn't have any control over my money. And mm-hmm. if you just take a notepad and mm-hmm. you just start writing down everything, she talked about that. But even that takes courage, because there are a lot of people who they want a magical potion to get themselves out of this, but they don't want to actually see who they really are. And when you write down what you spend your money on, you're beginning to see who you are and where your priorities lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my heavens, you heard me chuckling in the background, because you call it a magic potion.
Yes.
I love that more, and I'm going to borrow that. I'll give you credit for it, because I'm always saying a microwave result, but I
yes.
think the magic potion is more attractive.
Well, you know, they're just looking for something to just pour on the problem, to spray on the problem. You know what I mean? And instead of just doing the work and saying, where is my money going? And I've seen so many examples just this week. You know, I watched something on television where some people were really complaining. They were devastated. They were like, oh, we're financially devastated. Oh, you know, tears were falling. But when they sat down, those people were bringing in $5,000 a month. They were bringing $5,000 a month, and they and where it was going to a lot of bad debt, like Yolanda was talking about, a lot of senseless credit card spending, you know, putting gum and shoes and this and that on credit cards when you can't afford it. And then the rest of it, they just weren't sure where it was going. It was like $200 on cigarettes, you know, it was like all this, but it was $5,000, but yet these people were on television just talking about how devastated, financially devastated they were. And I said to myself, if they had to live off of some of the amounts of money that I had to live off of for some years in my life, they wouldn't have made it. You know what I mean? So people are talking a lot and saying a lot, but do they really want to see themselves? You know, not really.
You know, Yolanda was sitting here and she was speaking about selling out some of your stuff. And I'm sitting listening to her, and I began doing an inventory. I said, man, I'm going to have to take some shoes to the consignment shop. You know, because God know, I know where my money go, and I'm not disciplined. So, guys, I didn't just have Yolanda on the show for you. I had her on for me, too, because I'm a shoeaholic, you know. I'm buying shoe, I'm buying pocketbook, I'm buying shoe, I'm buying pocketbook. And she's talking, I said, oh, I got me some shoes still in the box that can go to those consignment shops. They're brand new. They can go out there. Because 2011, I got to do something great about my financing. So, I don't know if Kimberly got it together. I don't have it together. So, I'm so thankful for this new message.
I know, and Daphne, believe me when I tell you, I am a work in progress, just like yourself. I can look back and see that I've gotten better and that I have learned, but I can be better. And I feel the same way you do in 2011. You know, I want to be even better. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I also really, really want to embrace the mindset, you know, that Yolanda talked about, because really it goes deeper than what we physically have or don't have, because that is a result of the mindset.
That's
and
right.
So that is something that I am working on every single day, is that mindset and staying away from that belief that I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough. You know, so I am totally with you there, you know, and for me, it's that mindset of always feeling like, is this enough, you know what I mean, and it creates a certain reality in your life when you keep thinking that way, so I totally agree with you. I am looking to just be better next year.
Yes, I want to be extremely better, because as I tell people, I just so enjoy that whatever I tell people are from my experiences more, because I want to speak to them from my soul. I want to be authentic when I share something. And, you know, she is so on the money, Kimberly. I am so honored to have met this lady months ago on LinkedIn. I'm telling you. If nothing else happened from me being on LinkedIn, just meeting Yolanda in itself was a blessing because of the message and the journey and the vision she's on. And you are another powerful sister, too. Did we first meet on Facebook or on LinkedIn?
No, you know what? Actually, I listened to a show of yours. I listened to your show a few times when I was in Philly. I relocated to West Palm Beach this summer.
Oh, that's it. Because I was looking at the picture. I knew her from East Coast.
Yes. I'm a Philadelphia native.
Yes.
I lived out one of my dreams, and I always wanted to live in a different climate. And so in June, I sold a lot of stuff. I gave away a lot of stuff, too. But I came to West Palm Beach, and I've been loving it, and I've been growing in every possible way since I've gotten here. I've met so many amazing women, and, you know, just people in general. And it's just been beautiful. And it's 80 degrees on December 1st. And I just don't know what more,
you know,
I can ask for.
You need to stop bragging. You know, I'm sure your mama told you not to be a bragger. Oh, what?
I had to throw that in. It's so beautiful.
Oh, well, congratulations for your courage, my sister. I feel so strongly that we're going, because I was looking at that low haircut after I listened to the show the other night, and I'm thinking, she says South Florida. But why does she look like somebody I had known in the East Coast? And I figure, well, you know how this, so we all look alike. I figure, oh my heavens, but that's you.
Yes. This is my new home.
Yeah, you are one of my earlier supporters.
Yes.
When I
exactly.
began the show back in 2009.
Yeah, exactly.
You are one of my persons. Well, listen, 3D Politics, we want to welcome you. I want you to catch the archive of the show, because Yolanda spent the first hour with us, and her new book is about Black Does Not Live Here. But now I have unofficially Kimberly Smith on the phone, and she and I, we are talking, so I don't know if 3D Politics, if you have any insight around money and you want to call in, you can call in or you can write something in the chat room. But Kimberly, I have to have you on, and I don't know if you want me to call you on the phone. I have to have you on as a guest.
I would be so honored, you know, and sure, what I can do is I can just get my phone number to you. I am headed out to a client.
Okay.
And but yes, I would be so honored. So you can, I will definitely get my phone number to you, and I know that you know, tomorrow, the rest of the week, I'll be totally flexible, and I would look forward to talking to you.
Okay, well, we can look on next Wednesday the 8th if that's good for you. So
wonderful.
The number that you are calling from, is that the one you want me to
reach? Yes.
So I'll go ahead and I'll write this down. I just want to thank you for being so accommodating. And I want us to stay closely connected and see what the universe has for us to do together.
Isn't that beautiful?
I feel some good energy that's coming from us. Let's see what we can do for each other in the coming year. And if there's ever anything that you want me to do that can add value to your vision and your mission that you're on, please, I'm only a phone call away.
Oh, Daphne, and the same here as well. I thank you so much. And you are, you know, for people that haven't listened to your show before, and I'm sure they'll be listening in the archives, you know, you are one of the most, you are what I attempt to do with my show. You are one of the most genuine, and everything that you do present to us does come from your heart. And that is what I attempt to do, and hope to do as well as you do it, is to be genuine with my audience and my listeners as they watch my growth. And you you do that so well. So I just wanted to say that, you know, to people who will be listening, and to share that with you as well. So I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I just put my telephone numbers for you in the chat.
Wonderful.
So please, that it's thank you for the encouragement, because, you know, it is it's slightly challenging when you know the path that God have you on, and then there are so many other people pulling you at certain direction, and why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and you say, well, you know, God doesn't want me to do that. So I am so appreciative for the words that you have just expressed, and just to let me know that I need to continue on the path that God has me on. So hopefully we can have you on next Wednesday. We will speak later on the phone when you get back.
Yes.
Of your appointment, and we will set that up and everything. So I'm just so excited. Thank you for calling in. I enjoy our dialogue and the time that we spent together today. Have a blessed day.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you later.
Thank you so much. What's the blessing? Thank you. Yes, what a two powerful men who were just listening to the conversation between L. Kimberly Smith. She has an amazing show on. She's doing a phenomenal job. And I remember her being one of my first supporters from when I just began the show. She always come and supported me and became a friend. And also this morning we have a powerful show with Yolanda Webb, who is the new author of the book, Lack Does Not Live Here. And Yolanda is offering her coaching or counseling services to people who think that they need it. And she gave out an 800 number. The number is 888-836-7485. And you can call her. I think she just said that she has made an approval for her receptionist customer service at the office. She had set up this 800 number specifically for the calls that is coming in on the book. The book will be live on Amazon tonight. Today is December 1st. It will be live on Amazon. It is also on her personal website, elancouturecosmetics.com. So you can check it out and support her with the book. And she's also available for workshops around the book. And we will hopefully have her back on here again. She also have a children's book that is coming out for Christmas. So it was an amazing, amazing show that we have today. And I know that with this new book and with the exercise and activities that Yolanda has put out there in the book, for you, it will help you to get your finances in order. Know that the responsibility is ours. You heard her mention about, you know, being homeless, having her car repossessed, to opening a cosmetic company with all cash, with paying for her son's college education with all cash. Her daughter went off and she paid all cash. And she is willing to help us do that. So I want to thank those of you who listen today. And for those of you who will be listening on the archive, I want to just thank you for understanding the importances of managing your money. So I want to just tell you that you have a destiny. I want you to know that nothing, no one can prevent you from following your destiny. This is Dynamic Daphne, the host of the A New Day show, saying so long, and I will see you next week.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called